Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com to sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Okay, welcome to a new week. I hope everyone had a fabulous weekend. What we want to talk about a little bit today is about home buying. Now, if you already own a home, there may be some things in here that may want to consider for adding into your budget or adding into your alligator expenses and we've talked about alligator expenses before and listened to some previous episodes if you need more info on that. But as you're thinking about alligator expenses, some of these things that we're going to talk about in home buying today are things that you may want to add and set up accounts for. So what we want to talk about is 10 things to consider before you buy a home. And there's several things that you want to look at that we have 10 in specific. We have 10 specific things that we're going to talk about. But before we get into those, the very first thing you want to consider is how much you can really afford, because you don't want to overextend yourself into a house payment. Otherwise, it can become a nightmare really, really quickly. So the first thing you want to do is look for a home that's going to be about 25% of your take-home pay or less if you can, and to be sure that you take into consideration so all of these different things that we're going to be talking about today. But the magical number is 25% of your take-home pay. So that means that you're not going to be overextending yourself too much, and you're going to have enough left over to pay your other bills and expenses and such that you have. If you can do less than 25%, that of course is recommended. You want to have as low of a mortgage payment as possible. But let's talk about the first thing you need to consider. You need to think about your down payment and how much should my down payment be? Well, just like we talked about the 25%, you should have your down payment be as much as possible. So you want your mortgage payment as little as possible, but you want your down payment as much as possible. But ideally, you want to have at least 20% down. And there's a reason behind that 20% number. There's within your mortgage, if you have less than 20% down, you're going to be paying what's called private mortgage insurance, or PMI. And what that is it's just basically you're paying an insurance policy against default. Okay. And it makes it so that the mortgage company, it doesn't benefit you at all. This PMI, it has no benefit to you whatsoever. It benefits the mortgage company and says, if you default on the loan, then the mortgage company is going to be able to get their money. So it doesn't help you in one bit, but it's something that you have to pay. It's a cost that gets put onto you because you put less than 20% down. So if you want to avoid paying that PMI, you need to have at least 20% down so that you can avoid that payment. And of course, the larger that you put down is going to mean the less that you have to finance, and it's going to help keep that payment a little bit lower. So don't feel rushed into buying your home. You want to just be patient and persistent and saving up for that down payment. The next thing, number two item that you want to consider is what's called PI and TI. Okay. When people think about mortgages, when they go out to start shopping for a mortgage and figure out what they can afford, most of the time, what's returned to you in the internet calculators and different things like that is what's called P&I. And that stands for principal and interest. So it's going to say that you're going to be paying so much on principal and interest every month. But the problem is that that's not going to be your whole mortgage payment. Within your mortgage payment, you're also going to have what's called T&I. And T&I stands for taxes and insurance. It's also called escrow. Okay. What happens is when you make your monthly mortgage payment, a portion of that is going to go into an escrow account that is going to help pay for your taxes and your insurance. When you're considering your mortgage and considering how much you can afford, you need to ensure that you're including the amount for your homeowner's insurance and your taxes into that calculation. And that will be paid to your mortgage servicing company as part of that T&I payment that put it all together. You have your principal and interest and your taxes and insurance, and that's going to be what is going to equal your mortgage payment. And then again, like we mentioned before, if you have less than 20% down, then you're going to have also that PMI payment. So all of those things together is going to be what is going to constitute your mortgage payment. So as you're considering buying a home, make sure that you take into account all of those different things for that monthly payment. The number three item that you're going to want to think about is appraisal, inspection, and closing costs. If you're buying a home, you're going to want to get it inspected as part of the process of buying the home, because you want to make sure there's, you know, no problems with the roof, that there's not any leaks anywhere, that you don't have any mold, and you're going to have an inspector come in, and that's a cost that you are going to have to pay. You're also going to be required by your mortgage company to have an appraisal done, and that cost goes on to you as well, where you're going to have to pay for an appraiser to come out, and he or she is going to go through and appraise your property and see how much it's worth. So those are two costs that come in with your closing costs. But additionally, there are things like loan origination fees. There's also going to be partial months of interest that you have to pay already. There's going to be some taxes that you may have to pay, an insurance premium, and all sorts of other costs that are going to come around at closing that you need to plan for. It's not just going to be your mortgage that you're paying for. When you close on that house, it's going to be essentially having a number of these costs come up that you're going to have to pay for at that point. And these fees are going to vary based on where you are, and the closing costs are going to be vary as well. It depends partially on the contract that you're working under, but you are going to plan and need to plan for having some closing costs when you actually close on that home. And it can range from anywhere from a few $1,000s to $10,000. It just depends on how things are structured and also in the area that you're in. Sometimes those closing costs can be absorbed into your mortgage, but you'll want to talk to your lender about that. And ideally, you're going to be wanting to pay cash for those closing costs so that you're not increasing the financed amount. The next thing is number four. We want to talk about fixing up the property. When you first move in, there may be some things in that property that need to be fixing or redone, or even as you're going on and living in that home, there's going to be fixing that's going to need to happen. And this is a great opportunity for one of your alligator expense buckets, so that you can start putting money into that alligator fund so that when you have to fix things in the property, you're able to. When you own a home, you no longer have a landlord. So when something goes wrong, something goes out, you're the one that has to pay for it. And so does it need new paint? Does it need new carpet? Does it need any new fixtures or anything like that? Anything on those lines all falls under your responsibility now. You own it. It's yours. And so anything that you need to fix up in the property, you need to pay for. And this is going to be an ongoing expense. This isn't going to be a one-time you go in and it's done, because as you're living in the house, things are going to go out. Things are going to need replacing. Things are going to need fixing. And it's really nice if you can do things on your own and kind of a DIY, do it yourself. But there are some things that you're going to have to still go out of pocket for. I remember when I moved into my first home, one of the first things that happened was one of the hot water valve in one of our tubs went out. We're at a point where we had two options. One, hire a plumber, or two, figure out how to replace this valve on my own. And I was able to go through and find a do-it-yourself solution, and I was able to go in and replace this valve so that the hot water would work again. And it ended up saving me a lot of money, because I had to just buy a $20 part instead of having to get a plumber out there to go and fix it. So be sure that you do plan for things for fixing up the property and fixing up the home, because those are expenses that you're going to have to pay along the way. Number five is to think about furniture and appliances. Typically, new homeowners will not have, they're going to have more space, okay? They're going to suddenly go from a smaller apartment and have all this space that they're going to want to fill when they purchase that new home. And it's really fun to move in and make it your own, but that is another cost that you need to consider as you're moving in. Am I going to have to buy additional furniture? Am I going to have to buy new appliances? Are there things that I'm going to have to add to the home to help kind of fill it up? And you want to, of course, not go into debt for these things. So you need to plan for that as part of your move and getting this new home. This also is an opportunity, again, for an alligator expense, because things are going to go old. Things are going to get old. They're going to go out. They're going to break. Different things like that. and you may need to replace furniture. You may need to replace appliances along the way. And so you may want to take a little bit of that budget, a little bit of money from your paycheck, and budget it so that you can plan for those future expenses for when you need new furniture or new appliances for that home. You're also going to have regular maintenance, and that's number six on our list. You know, you're going to have a whole HVAC system that you're going to have to keep in check. You're going to have to replace filters. You're going to have to make sure that you have, we talked about a plumbing issue earlier as far as fixing things up. And you're going to have a fund to maintain that house along the way. And we've talked again about these alligator funds and these sinking funds to help you put money away from each paycheck to pay for these things. And you want to plan for that maintenance. The number seven thing to consider is, does it have an unfinished basement? And there's kind of pros and cons to an unfinished basement. One of the things that's nice is that because it affects the amount of livable square footage, it can help you get into a home for less money when it's unfinished. But then if you want to finish the basement, you have a very large expense that can run in tens of thousands of dollars, depending on what you decide to do in your home, that to get that basement finished. While it's great to have a space that you're able to make your own, there is a possible significant cost that can go into that finishing of the basement. One of the nice things also is that it does add value to your home when you finish the basement, so it's not all bad, but you need to think through it financially very, very closely. Number eight is, you want to think about the outside of the home. And, you know, it kind of surprises me is how many people move into a beautiful new home and then they let their yard just go to waste. And you want to think about that landscaping outside, because that is going to be a cost that's going to occur as you live in that home. You're going to have to do things like fertilize your lawn. You're going to have to maybe invest into a lawnmower, into an edger, some different tools. And you're going to have ongoing expenses of, for example, if you have perennial flowers that you're going to have to purchase each year to put into your flower garden. And all of these things, again, are expenses that you'll want to plan for, because they're going to be there and you just need to be ready for them. And if you're already an existing homeowner, again, this might be a nice reminder to set up that alligator account for your landscaping, as well as some of the others that we've gone into. The number nine item that you want to consider is utility costs, because when you're in a rental, sometimes your utilities are included as part of that rental. Other times they're not. But ultimately, if you're in an apartment that's a smaller space, your utility costs are going to be less. When you move into a home that's going to have more square footage and more area to keep hot or cold, also you're going to be running more water, you're going to be doing a lot of different things, you need to be prepared for an increase in your utility costs. Just because what you're paying in your apartment is not necessarily going to be what you're paying in your home. It's very likely that it's going to go up because you're giving in a larger space. So be sure you're ready for that jump in utility costs as you're preparing your budget for your new home. The last item is something that it doesn't apply to every home, but it's something that you want to be aware of in some areas. In some areas, the homes are part of it's called a homeowners association or an HOA. And if your home is part of an HOA, then you're going to have a monthly fee that you're going to have to pay to the HOA as part of your monthly budget. The HOA is going to offer you different things. They'll have different amenities and different services that they'll do for you. Like I've heard where some will, you know, maybe remove the snow, or they'll maintain your yard, or they'll have a clubhouse or a pool or something like that, or a kind of a common area that people can rent out or such. And so they'll have something that you're getting for it, but they are a fee that you need to be aware of and ready for. You also have to be prepared and know that sometimes they do raise these HOA fees along the way. So one of the big key things is just being sure that you're prepared before you buy, that you're aware of some of these things. We've talked about 10 different specific things, but make sure that before you buy a home that you have a nice emergency fund in place. Pay off as much debt as possible. It's best idea if you're debt-free to be able to go into to a home, because that's going to free up as much money as possible. And then make sure that you're continuing to live on that budget, and that you are setting up those alligator accounts, living within your means on your budget, and following that plan that you have for yourself. All right, let's switch over and answer a few questions. You can, of course, submit questions to podcast@trigator.com, or you can go to our website, trigator.com/podcast, and submit questions there. Or we'd also love for you to join our Facebook page. Be sure you like it while you're there, facebook.com/trigator. You can ask questions there, and we will try to get to them and answer them. So our first question comes from Charles. He says, is it worth paying extra on a 15-year mortgage? Yes, it is. The key of what you want to do is get out of that mortgage as fast as possible. And by paying extra on it, you're going to reduce that number of years. And we've talked before about some of the methods you can do to get out of that that mortgage more quickly. And there's little things you can do, such as if you're paid biweekly, make biweekly payments on your mortgage, and you're basically making an extra payment every year when you do that. And that will help reduce the number of years significantly. And you'll be out of that debt faster, and then you'll be able to pocket that money sooner. So yes, it's absolutely worth paying extra on a 15-year mortgage to get rid of that debt quicker. So good question, Charles. This one comes from James. It says, I'm moving in with my girlfriend and her two kids in a house she owns. Should I pay half the mortgage? That's really a conversation you need to have with your girlfriend, James, because if you're moving in together, you're starting to come into a situation where you're going to start combining finances. Now, since you're not married, there's no legal obligation as far as finances go, but you'll want to start working together to plan finances together when you're living together. And you'll want to discuss with her and say, do you want me to pay rent to you, or do you want me to help you with the mortgage? What avenue do you want me to do so that I can kind of pull my my fair share of things? So talk it over with your girlfriend, come to a solution on how you're going to split things up with your finances and how you're going to take one of the aspects of your finances, which is your living expenses, and merge them together. Because that's something that you're going to start doing now that you're living together, is starting to merge a little bit of finance together. So have that discussion and come to an agreement that both of you agree upon that helps you both with your shared financial goals. So good question, James. Last question comes from Mark. He says, I bought a phone for my ex a few years ago in my name, and he stopped paying the bill. Now it's in collections, and I'm not sure how to get it removed from my credit report. Any suggestions? Well, Mark, since it is in your name, it is your responsibility, and you need to basically shut off the phone. If you call that the cell phone carrier, you're the one that's able to shut it off. You can say, you know, that you're no longer with that person and that you don't need that phone anymore, and you disconnect service completely. If it's in collections, it's probably already been disconnected though, but it is your responsibility, and you need to get rid of that. You'll have to pay off that collection because it is in your name. You could go after your ex for that money in small claims court, but that's going to be a difficult run as far as things go, and it may be more expensive than just paying off the collection. So unfortunately, you're kind of in for that, and your options are either to try to get your ex to pay for that collection or pay for it yourself. Otherwise, it's going to stay on your credit report through the duration of that problem. And I learned this the hard way. When I was 18 and I first was trying to do some stupid things because I was 18 and stupid, I bought a computer on credit, and I didn't understand how credit worked, and I didn't understand how things went in my name and different things like that. And I ended up being in a position where I needed to sell that computer, and I sold it to a friend of mine. And I said, oh, well, let's just put the account over in your name, and then you can take over the payments, and we'll just go with that. And so I called up the company. I'm like, oh, I need to transfer it over into their name. And the company misunderstood me and thought I just needed to send the bill to the other person's name. And I didn't understand that I can't transfer that into their name, that it's still going to be in my name, and I'm just putting the billing into their name. And anyway, I ended up leaving the country for a little while, doing some service. And when I came back, I found out that this person I sold the computer to had stopped paying on it. And because it was in my name, guess whose credit was ruined by it? mine. And it took me a long, long time to get over that and to be able to fix it up. Luckily I was in a good situation with that friend that bought the computer where they actually did pay for it and made the payments, but it still showed negatively on my credit as late payments and different things like that. So I was able to get it cleaned up eventually, but it took a long, long time to get over that. And I had to learn a very hard lesson that if something's in my name, I am responsible for it. So good luck, Mark. I hope the best for you. Again, if you do have questions you'd like to send to us, you can send them to podcast@trigator.com via email, or you can go to our website, trigator.com/podcast, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/trigator. Be sure while you're on the Facebook page that you give us a like. We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Trigator Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com to sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app, to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out your debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Thank you for listening. Make sure that you do visit our sponsor and sign up for that free trial. And please do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.